And to be honest with you, I need the prayers of the saints this morning, more so than usual. Because you could have somebody much more worthy to stand up here this morning than I. Because I'm not worthy to stand behind this pulpit. I'm thankful to stand behind this pulpit, and I'm honored, but you could have had somebody much more worthy. But praise be to God that He takes unworthy people, people that shouldn't be here, people that in their past have done so much wrong, but yet God can take somebody like me, an old drunk, an old alcoholic, bound by addictions, and use somebody like me, that He can pick us up, that we can repent, and God will wipe it all out, every single thing. Don't let the enemy tell you that you're not worthy this morning. This is not in my notes, and this is not what I plan on preaching, but I just feel this morning. Don't you let the enemy tell you that you're not worthy to do the work of God this morning. But it is truly an honor and a privilege to stand before you this morning. I'm thankful for Pastor, his wife, to believe in people. Amen. I want to go to the book of Judges, the 15th chapter, and the 15th verse. And I'll also be going to 2 Kings, the 2nd chapter. Verses 13 and 14. Judges, the 15th chapter, verse number 15. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. 2 Kings chapter 2, 13 and 14, it says, he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. I want to preach to you this morning on this thought. It's within reach. It's within reach. If you'll put your Bibles down this morning, go to prayer with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we need you in this place. God, if there was ever a time that we needed you, it's now, God. God, I pray that you would anoint my lips to speak only those things that you would have me to say, God. That you would anoint every single person in this place, that as the word goes forth, that it falls upon fertile ground. God, I come against anything that could hinder the move of God in this place this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I realize that the two texts that I took this morning are about two completely different men of God. Two different roles that they played. But as I prayed about this, the Lord showed me that they had at least two things in common. Number one, they were both used by God mightily. Number two, they both had something that they needed that was within reach, but they had to reach down and get it and use it. You see, it doesn't matter, church, how much glory or how much power or how much peace, joy, prosperity surrounds you or within your reach. It doesn't help us unless we reach down and use it. That jawbone became a weapon of mass destruction against Samson's enemies, but he had to reach down and he had to pick it up and then use it. We look around us today and there's so much destruction. There's so many things going on in this world. There's so much evil seems like it's running rampant. We see horrible things going on in our society. Everywhere we look seems like there's devastation. But I didn't come to you this morning to talk about and to complain and criticize about how bad things are, to criticize our government, whether it be state, local, or federal. I didn't come to you to talk about the different acts of the different countries, ever so evil as what they may be. And I know that there's a lot of bad stuff going on in the world, and I'm not denying the presence of what's going on. But what I do not choose to do this morning is I do not choose to focus on the bad things that are surrounding us. You know, you can think in your minds, well, we just can't bury our head in the sand. And I really don't think it's a point of burying our head in the sand. We're not denying the reality of what's going on. We just choose to look in a different direction. We know what's going on and surrounding us. We know the evil that runs on. And we're not burying our heads in the sand. Quite the contrary, we're burying our heads in the Word of God. We're lifting up our eyes and looking to the hills from whence comes our help. I came to remind you and reinstate this morning to let you know that the enemy is not in charge. This morning, he is not on the throne. There is one that sits on the throne, and his name is Jesus. And the last time I checked, he has been in control, is still in control, and will remain in control. But one thing that we've got to do this morning, there are things that are within our reach. But there's some things that are keeping us from picking those things up. There are spirits of fear that have gripped some people of God. Spirits of doubt that have gripped them. Saying, God, I know what you want me to reach and pick up, but I don't feel worthy. I have a fear. I can't do it, God. Fear and doubt have hindered more people from doing what God wants them to do than anything else. That old spirit of fear grip you and it just seems like it gets a hold to you and things that you thought in your mind that you could do, when it boils right down to it, that spirit of fear will grip you and put doubt in your minds. And God, I can't do it. And you're right to a certain degree. Without God, we can do nothing. But with God, we can do all things. All things. There is nothing that God will call you to do that he won't prepare you for the calling. He won't prepare you for the purpose. He will prepare you for every single thing that he instills in you to do. But you've got to reach and you've got to pick it up and you've got to use it. Two more things that seem to grip us, talking about the church of the living God, and that's hopelessness and despair. You know, I've always been transparent, and I don't foresee me changing. But I have let many things cripple me and hinder me as I try to grow in God. Maybe it's just me. Maybe this message is just preaching to me, but I really don't think so. I feel down in my spirit it goes beyond me. And it may not be for everybody in this place, but everybody can apply something to it in their lives. But I felt that spirit of hopelessness that creep on you. Feel like you have no hope. That spirit of despair, it'll almost cripple you. It goes beyond just fear and doubt. It's that spirit that I know I can't do it in my mind, but yet I've got this hopelessness that there's no hope. There's the absence of that hope in my life. And before you know it, then you have that spirit of depression that'll creep on over you and try to overwhelm you. And I know I'm in the spirit right now because this ain't in no notes what I'm telling you. That spirit of depression will try to grip a hold to you. I am not a negative person by nature. I am always been a very positive person. As a matter of fact, I can't stand negativity, but I have found myself over the years where the enemy has tried to get a hold of me and try to tell me that there is no hope there. You need to be despaired. When you take somebody that's, and I know many of you don't really know me, you just know me. But somebody who used to be very positive, and to find yourself in a fetal position in the middle of the day in the bed, don't tell me that that's normal. It'll happen. It'll happen. It'll grip you to where you think you have no purpose and you have no plan in your life. I know I'm being real transparent right now, but if it can help somebody in this place, it's much worthy. When that old spirit gets a hold of you, it's hard to shake. It is hard to shake. I don't care how much you pray. I don't care how spiritual that we might claim that we are. Nobody is exempt from these things that will grip a hold of us. Nobody is exempt. And what I have found out is that the deeper you try to go in God, we've talked about we're going to deeper depths and higher heights in God, and I believe that wholeheartedly. But to get there, there's some challenges that we've got to face, because the enemy is not going to just sit back and say, have at it. So when he gets to individuals and gets in their spirit with things like depression, things like fear, and things like doubt, he can literally cripple you and hinder you from getting to those deeper depths and higher heights that we're going. So these things have to be fought with spiritual weapons. On our knees, crying out to God, God, help us. But you know, I'm reminded of Noah in the ark. And I believe the church and we are much like Noah in that ark of the Old Testament. See, the floodwaters rose till they covered the highest mountains. But the ark just kind of rode on top of the waters. The Lord spoke to me and says, more or less in other words, in the worst times, the ark was lifted to its highest place. So it is through those rough times that you don't think that you're going to make it through it. It's hard to just put one foot in front of the other sometimes. Sometimes we just have to kind of shuffle our feet because sometimes it's not step by step. Sometimes it's inch by inch. But as far as God is concerned, and at least we're making some progression. If we're just shuffling our feet, is that all that you can find yourself and your strength to do? Then just shuffle your feet. And just as long as you're progressing towards the prize. There's been something that has been moving and building within this church for quite some time. You know, we've been in that, there's been that spirit of revival for quite a while, and we know that we're going to deeper depths and higher heights and some things that we've just not ever seen, and I think quite possibly in my spirit that it'll be some things we've not even heard of that come to pass. And I believe that it's going to explode across this land. But one thing that we do not need to do is we do not need to get weary. Because if the enemy can't make you quit, he'll wear you out. He's going to try every tactic in his arsenal, I assure you. Because it's just one thing to get to a point of revival. But when you move beyond that point of revival to go to your deeper depths and your higher heights, it's going to cost us more. We're going to have to fight more. We're going to have to push more. We're going to have to pursue more. We're going to have to pick up some things that we might not have ever picked up in our lives. We might have to pick up some things that maybe sometime during the period of our life that life just got to us and we laid those things down. But nevertheless, there are things within our reach that God has given each and every one of us that we need to pick up. It's there. It's within our reach. But it's left up to us to pick them up and use them. You know, if there was ever a time for us to be apostolic, it's now. It's now. In every way, not just some ways. We don't need to be, and I'm not criticizing nobody, don't take it as that, but we don't need to be part-time apostolics. I say we. When I say we, I'm encapsulating me. We don't need to be just part-time apostolics. We need to be full-time apostolics in everything we do and everything we do, whether we dress, whether we live, whether we act, whether we talk, whatever we do, we need to be apostolic in every single way, every single day that we go forward. We can't let a do, we can't afford to let a day go by to where we're not apostolic, to where we say, you know, I just don't feel it today. Well, whether we feel it or whether we don't feel it, we've got to be apostolic in every single way. You know, we can be a living, breathing, talking Bible encyclopedia, but if we don't apply it to our lives, then what have we really done? We've just only gained some knowledge is about all we've done, but we've got to apply it to our lives daily, daily. You know, there are two people that are sitting in the seat that you happen to be sitting in this morning. Two. Number one, the person you are right now. And number two, the person God's called you to be. You know, I know what it's like for fear and doubt to grip you. I've not ever shared my testimony here, and maybe one day I will, but that's not what I'm here to talk about this morning. But for one thing, I was called at a very young age. What I did was, for 30 years of my life, I ran. 30 years, it seemed like I wasted when I could have been pursuing the things of God. For different reasons, for various reasons, some of them I won't get into right now. I was very rebellious. It's kind of tough. It's tough when you start thinking and you start reliving some of those old things. But when you know you're called by God and you're running, I don't know who this is for, but this is for somebody. Don't waste 30 years of your life like I did, running, letting evil just consume you and take you over before you finally just submit to what God has for you. If nothing else, let me be an example of what not to do. Don't run, whether it be 10 years, whether it be 20 or 30, whatever the case may be. If it be 3 days, don't run. God has impressed upon you, and every single body in here has a purpose. Amen. It's like Pastor said, we may not all be called to do the same thing, but we're all called to do something. But don't procrastinate and wait and let the enemy just have a field day in your life. Don't let him talk you into things that he talked me into. But I can sit here and tell you that in some of my worst moments, God never gave up on me. I can remember sitting on a bar stool, couldn't have probably even told you my name. But for some unknown reason, God was still speaking to me in the midst of a bar stool. In the midst of some of the worst times in my life, things that I have faced, God's still reaching. He's still reaching. Don't let another day pass you by. Boy, I feel just a heaviness right here, right now. Let's pray for us just for a minute. Let's pray. Jesus. You know, I knew this one was going to be tough. Why I've been fighting so hard. But usually when things are this tough to try to get through, it's for some people. I'm talking to some people in here this morning. I know I am. I know I am. You know, God has a way of putting us in situations and be careful what you tell God you can't do. See, It was one fear of mine years ago to get up in front of anybody and speak. To get in front of two or three people just terrified me. Literally. It just crippled me. Couldn't stand the thought of it. Didn't want to be in front of nobody's talking. It literally just gripped me within to where I just couldn't do it. That's one of the reasons why I ran. That's not all the reasons. But be careful what you sit there and you tell God, I can't do it, God. I can't get up in front of nobody and speak. I can't talk it in front of nobody. I just can't do it because that fear just would grip me to where it would cripple me. And as I told God that I couldn't do it, I can't do it, it's beyond me, God. You're just going to have to pick somebody else. This is not for me. Just give it to somebody else. And then while I was on the job, I actually got offered a position. Now, y'all know how we are. When we're offered a position many times, we know that it's more money. And we don't really care about what's all involved. Just give it to me. You know, I'll take it without knowing the whole truth of what I'm about to get into. Well, that's what happened to me. It's more money, so I'm going to just reach and grab a hold to it and let's run with this until I got to reading the fine print after the fact. And after I had done said yes and we went through this whole process and I'd done dedicated myself to it, they say, oh, yeah, and by the way, you're going to have to stand up in front of people and teach. And if y'all could have just been inside of me at that moment, because everything within me, I was up here, but when he said that, I got way down here. Well, I'm from the era that if you give a man your word to do something, then you're going to do it. And so now I've got to fulfill the word. I done told them that I'll do this. I'll take this. Now I'm wishing I could back out of it, but I can't because inside of me it says, you know, you gave your word, you're going to take this, so now you've got to do it. Never once thinking about what I told God I couldn't do. So as I mentally prepared myself, it would actually be for the next 10 years that's what I'd have to do. And then it would come back to me, and the Lord would say, you remember what you told me you couldn't do? Because he'll put you in a position to show you just what you really can do. Well, then it graduates. It goes into two different things. And I've done so far off of my notes. This is not what I planned, but I'm just feeling this in the Holy Ghost, so I'm just flowing in it. Amen. And so it was bad enough to stand in front of somebody and teach. But then, after you think you've got a good hold on that, the Lord doesn't leave you where you're comfortable. So I got another position, a little higher. And this went beyond just teaching. This would be to where I had to go in a room with executives and CEOs and give presentations to people that are staring and looking at me, kind of like y'all looking at me right now. And I said, God, it was one thing to stand in front of people and teach, but now I got to get in front of all of these high executives who are far more educated than I am. And now I've got to present things to them. And so I did that for a number of years. And then as I accepted the calling that God had placed on my life, there's still things and places and positions that God will put you to make you uncomfortable. I won't speak the name because they asked me not to. But here just the other day, I was in Family Dollar. Saw an individual there I had not seen in some time. We've known each other for a number of years. And he, at one time, we were real close. He began to tell me what was going on in his life. Began to tell me that the diagnosis that the doctor had given him. And he said, I know that you're a man of prayer, so I wanted you to be praying for me on account of this particular situation. And y'all know how we do. I'll be praying, brother, hoping that we can just let that be. I'll be praying for you. And as we begin to keep on talking, Lord said, now. I said, God, we on aisle 5 at Family Dollar. This, you know how I am, God. You've got me in a predicament right now. There's people in this store. This is not late at night. This is daylight hours. There are people in here shopping, Lord. So we kept on the conversation, and I'm not the only one that's in this situation. I know that I'm talking to some people now for sure. It may not be just a few of us, but I'm talking to some. And we continued the conversation, and I'm thinking in my mind, how am I going to do this? Lord, you, here we are. God, I can't do this in the middle of Family Dollar on aisle 5. What if the Spirit moves, Lord, and we go to breaking out in tongues on aisle 5, and there's people shopping? Lord said, do it anyhow. Well, the Lord won out, because even though I have argued with God about many things, he always wins. He always comes out on top. So I told that brother, I said, well, why don't we just pray right now? And everything within me is trembling, and it's not the Spirit at this point. This is just not in my nature. God, why you put me in these places, God? It's because you claim to be apostolic. So are we just going to look like it? Are we just going to act like it at times? Or are we going to truly be apostolic across the board? I said, I've put things within your reach that you need to reach and pick up and use and apply it to your daily life. You can't just be a part-time apostolic. You've got to be full-time apostolic. And about the time that the Lord just kind of crushed all my toes, and I'm sitting there just beat down. And I've done told this brother, we're going to pray. So I armed him up, and when I said we prayed, we prayed. And when that nervousness and that trembling left out because of the nervousness, then the trembling came in because of the Spirit. And as we both broke out in tongues right there in aisle 5, in the midst of Family Dollar, we both felt God. And at that point, didn't care who heard us. But I can't tell you that it was easy to start off with. Because God will put us in uncomfortable situations. He's given us all the tools that we need to fulfill everything that we have to do. But we've got to reach down and we've got to pick them up and we've got to apply it to our daily lives. And if there is ever a day and an hour that we need to use those things, it is going to be those things that are going to touch other people's hearts to where this revival goes from just revival to deeper depths and higher heights. I'm not going to be much longer. But there's one more thing I want to cover. In Esther chapter 4, verse 14. We all know the story of Esther. You know, the same way that Esther was put in the kingdom for such a time as this, we are put in the kingdom for such a time as this. It was preordained by God that you and I be alive and full of the Holy Ghost for such a time as this that we're living in. God doesn't make accidents. He doesn't make mistakes. Every single one of us has a plan and a purpose in the kingdom of God. But as I read this scripture, there's part of it that just literally cut me like a knife. And it's that first portion. It says, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed." Those words just gripped me and cut me like a knife. More or less, Esther, if you don't reach and grab a hold to this mantle, somebody else will. But it doesn't stop there. But you and your generation and your family will suffer because of it. Church, there are people within our reach that if we do not pick up the mantle at this day and in this hour that is intended for us to pick up, somebody else is going to pick the mantle up. But when they do, our and our house, sin will be affected and destroyed because of it. That cut me deep. That cut me deep. If there was ever a time and a place for us to pick up that mantle, to reach and grab the weapons that the Lord has provided to each one of us, it's now. It's now. There are other people that are weighing in the balance because of you and I is failure to not pick up and reach what is within our control. This is not something that I wanted to preach. I can assure you I wanted us to shout and bounce off the walls, but I've come to tell you that if you don't use the gifts the talents, the abilities, the mantles that God has given you and within your reach. Not only will you be affected by it, but you and your house. And what makes it so tough is even though I have picked up some things that are within my reach, there are some things that I have laid down that are just sitting idle, and I have yet to pick them back up. So what I'm preaching this morning, it's not just to you. It's to me as well. There's things that I've got to pick up. And as I was in that prayer room this morning, y'all stand with me. As I was in that prayer room this morning, the Lord just brought back to memory things that I have laid down and didn't pick back up that are within my reach. And the Lord just gave me just a little vision right quick. And it was of my children and my grandchildren and my family members. And as they were all sitting in front of me, there were only two words spoken, and they weren't by me. It was of them. And they were screaming out, "Help me. Help me." And I dare struggle with that weight and that responsibility that they are screaming and crying out to me, "Help me," because of my failure to reach and grab the things that I have laid down. I have them within my reach. And the entire time their souls are waiting in the balance because I have not picked them up and used them. God, don't let our revival be hindered because we have failed. Because we have failed. To pick up those mantles. To pick up those weapons that you have given us. I'm opening these altars up. I've said just about all I know to say.